This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. You know that one friend who always finds the best travel deals, picks the right cards, and somehow ends up in first class for the price of economy? Then Smart Travel is like that friend, but in podcast form. They cover all things travel finance, like which travel cards earn their keep and which are just heavy, shiny metal. The quick math for knowing when to pay with points or just swipe away, and planning group trips that won't ruin your budget or your friendships. Travel smarter and spend less with help from NerdWallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Welcome to the Winging It Travel Podcast, your weekly ticket to the world, dropping every Monday and hosted by me, James Hammond, proudly part of the Voyascape Network. This is a travel podcast that throws out the itinerary and dives straight into the raw, real, and unpredictable essence of global exploration, chasing moments over milestones, those spontaneous encounters, immersive sounds, and unforgettable stories. Whether I'm hiking up volcanoes in Guatemala, or camping under the stars in British Columbia. I've met incredible people, seen breathtaking places, and collected unforgettable stories. I now get to share them with you alongside some of the most diverse and well-traveled guests from around the world. Expect engaging conversations that bring fresh perspectives and inspiring travel tales. There are also raw, reflective solo episodes where I share personal insights, practical tips, and honest stories from the road. This is a podcast for travelers, dreamers, backpackers, and anyone who's ever thought, "What if I just went for it and traveled?" If you're looking for stories to tell, tips to share, and experiences to inspire, then you're in the right place. There's so much travel content coming your way, it might just spark that trip you've been dreaming about for years. You can find Winging It and more fantastic travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com. The link is in the show notes. Let's go and explore the world. Hello, and welcome to the Winging It podcast, episode 2, 1 week in Love D. So before we crack on with Love D, thanks to comments on the first episode, more of a rallying call to get that inner traveller bursting out of you and maybe get some traction with some plans, some changes and some travel ideas for the future. Thanks for the downloads, thanks for the feedback. You can catch the episode on all platforms and also my website. I'll pop it on there as well. And tune into the newsletters. Newsletters I'm doing twice a week. Tuesday and Fridays, really random, no real order to them, just what I feel like writing about from my experiences the last 10 years, I guess. So you can sign up there on the website too. Looking forward to getting this one done today because this might give you a bit of an insight into what life is like in Bangkok and at this hostel and as a traveller as well. Hopefully some ideas will come your way and also some things that are slightly controversial, which you may want to avoid. So let's crack on. Where and what is Love D? Well, Love D is one of my favourite hostels in the world, if not the favourite. It is based in Bangkok. The one I stayed at is off Silom Road. So Silom Road probably means nothing to many people, but a landmark there that may pique your interest is the Hangover Hotel. It is where they filmed The Hangover, the film. A great little place you can go to, and I'll come to that a bit later on. So the hostel is off Silom Road, down the street, and it is essentially a great hostel for backpackers and even arguably some older clientele. So getting to Love D from the airport was pretty painless, but Bangkok, when you first land, it's quite hard to describe. It is hot. There's a smell. I can't really describe it. It's busy. It is constantly noisy. And for me, coming from, I'd arguably say, sleepy Norwich and a bit of London, a massive culture shock. So Love D was booked in by our agent at STA Travel. Rest in peace. I'm sure they'll be back. And we had no idea what to expect, but it blew our expectations, really. And when you arrive, you come in and you're greeted by the staff, and the staff are great there. They're quite a youngish crew, understand what the hostel's about, and they try and make your stay as comfortable as possible. And the rooms have great beds, great facilities. I think there's a cinema in the hostel. There's laundry, loads of bathrooms. Downstairs has a bar area, a communal area, some laptops and some computers. And back in that day, I did not travel with a smartphone or a laptop. So it's kind of, I kind of didn't really keep in contact with the outside world. I mean, people who knew I was going to travel and probably didn't have a clue where I was until I posted on Facebook. And that was quite rarely because I relied on hostels to have those facilities. So when you come to the hostel, a great vibe, very relaxed. I can't deny it, a bit of a party vibe, which we'll come to in a bit. This was recommended by our agent, STA, as I said before. And she said she had a great time there. I think she stayed there two or three nights. But we had no clue where to stay in Bangkok, so we went with it. We arrived and we stayed for 7 nights. Across the road is a cafe. And this local lady runs this very quaint but like rustic cafe. And she does pad thai. I think she specializes in some duck dishes if you're into that sort of thing. But the one thing she knows, and it's quite clever, is backpackers, when they're hungover and they wake up late and it's like lunchtime, 12, she'll bring pad thai to the hostel. So you can go over, order your pad thai, real local food, and then you can go back to the hostel, sit outside with a beer or water, whatever you're drinking, and then she'll just bring it over to you and then you take it back. And she'd done this for years. So that was a great source of local food on doorstep, and people were loving it, absolutely loving it. When I first arrived into Bangkok, into the Lop Di, bit of a nightmare, my shower gel burst in my bag. Now, water, probably get away with it. Even any other liquid, but shower gel, sticky, all over my clothes, all over my bag. Absolute mare, trying to clean it out. And that was just one of the first things that that I had to deal with when I arrived. But you crack on, you get your stuff unpacked, try and recover from that. So when we arrive, we are probably arriving about 5, 6pm and we're pretty jet lagged from flying from London. So nothing big planned on the first day. Got in, got sorted, got checked in, and we popped down Silom Road off to a market, and it's just off this road there. And it's a food market. And we thought, great, local food, get in there. And no idea what to expect. Tuk-tuks come up to you as you walk down trying to get some business. You just have to ignore them and carry on. And we had a green curry. And it's probably one of the best dishes I had on that trip. And that was like day one. Couldn't believe what I was eating. So really fresh, chang in hand. And a note about chang is it's not regulated. So you can either get 1% or 10% in your beer. I'm sure that makes a very big difference in the night out. Anyway, crack on for that. Some food, bed early, up next day, first day exploring. So we knew that we want to go and see the reclining Buddha the first day. And we knew how to get a public boat. The public boat on the main river in Bangkok has an orange flag. So you know, this is not a scam boat. This is not a tourist boat, if you like. Local boat. All locals get on there to go to work, school, etc. But to get there, we have to walk down Silom Road, probably 15, 20 minutes straight down to the waterfront. And we thought, you know what? We'll walk and just take in the sights. And then some geezer comes up in his tuk-tuk, says, oh, do you want to ride down to the river to get the boat? And we're like, oh, yeah, yeah, great, great. I can see what you're thinking already. So we pop in this tuk-tuk. And we know it's probably going to be 5, 10 minutes at most to get down there with traffic. 20 minutes goes by. Oh, Mike, who I'm traveling with at the time, I have no idea where we are. I've got a feeling we're not going to the public boat. And he's like, yeah, I know, I know. We ride it out and then we arrive to the stop and he goes, oh, we're here. And I was like, oh, is that the public boat? He goes, yeah, 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 I got a public boat. He goes, well, it's a private boat. We're like, no, we don't want a private boat. We want a public boat. He's like, no, this is better. Better money, better stuff for your money. Like, go here. We're like, no, we just want the public boat. And he started to get a bit agitated with us and we obviously started to get a bit annoyed. And he started charging us for the tuk-tuk ride and then for the boat. So the public boat cost 10, 20 baht, which is probably, at the time, 50p. Maybe 40p. This guy wanted like a couple of quid. And we're like,
in the grand scheme of things, it's not that lot. But the point here is that he was trying to scam us, and we knew straight away. And the problem we had is we had no map, no phone, nothing to guide us. I mean, no idea where we were in Bangkok. So this guy was not really taking no for an answer. So the only thing we could do here, and we knew we were getting scammed at this point, and we kind of laughed about it at the time, give the guy some money, 50 baht, and just walk off, because what can you do? So we gave him 50 baht. He asked where we're going. We said, I don't really know. We're just going to walk off. And he started shouting at us. And then we kind of said, look, it's not what we want. Gave him some money, walked off. No idea where we were. So we had to go to this local shop, I think, and see where we were in Bangkok. And they kind of said, yeah, you're about an hour walk from the Reclining Buddha. Oh, man, in the heat as well. So off we went on our foot and went to the Reclining Buddha. And it probably took about an hour. Sweltering heat, hot Bangkok. But we got there and this amazing statue is this Reclining Buddha is obviously on his elbow, laying into the side. And unbelievable view. You can't really grasp how big that is. So the Reclining Buddha in Bangkok is definitely something to go and see. So after the first day, tick, got scammed. I think it's a classic in Southeast Asia. Happens once or twice. But first day in, got it ticked off. Back to the hostel for the first proper time for the first night, we actually met some people. And this section is going to be the people that we met. We probably, over the 7 nights, met 12 to 15 people that we would consider keep in contact and see where we go on this journey around Southeast Asia. In Southeast Asia, you have two kind of routes. Bangkok, you can go east and go to Cambodia and then on to Vietnam, South Vietnam, and make your way up. And then across the Lao at the top, across to Chiang Mai, North Thailand, and then back down again, which is the route that we took. But a lot of people stay in Thailand, go up to Chiang Mai, up to Pai and Chiang Rai, and then make their way across Lao into Northern Vietnam and down the coast. So whatever way people go, you're going to bump into them at some point. And we did. We bumped into people in Malaysia, in Vietnam, and also in New Zealand by keeping in contact. So the people we met were brilliant and we had so many good laughs and nights out that I'll come to in a bit. But Lop Di is definitely a place to meet people. So you grab a beer, you nip down the shop, down the local shop. You wouldn't buy a beer from Lop Di because they're quite extortionate. You go down to the local, off-license, grab your Chang. And the bottles of Chang are not your small bottles you get here. They're kind of like a litre almost. Get your Chang, take the risk with how much percentages are in the alcohol content, and then yeah, you crack on. So at the front, people from Canada, New Zealand, Australia, UK as well, South Korea, Japan, all these people that we met at the front having a laugh and getting a bit boozed up. So when you go to the hostel and you have your beers, you're probably what, 3 or 4 hours in, you've got kind of a choice where to go. And a lot of people would probably go to Koh San Road, which is a 24-hour party street, and I'll come to Koh San Road in more depth a bit later. So we would obviously decide where to go in the night and then crack on. But also we wanted to go and see some stuff during the day, so we didn't want to go too hard that night. But we got a few Changs down us, got used to the hostel and the vibe and the people. And that first night, we actually made plans for the next day, which was going to be the Grand Palace Day. I think it's about 6 or 7 people that were going to come along. Grand Palace in Bangkok is, I think, where the king used to live up until the 1920s. And it's kind of still used for ceremonies and events up until now. And you can go and walk around the grounds, and it's a great place to go and get some good photos and some bit of culture in there. Grand Palace Day was a super hot day and it required going on a public boat. So the first thing we did is to not make the same mistake again. Went to Ceylon Road, popped down the road, ignore all tuk-tuks because you don't want to get scammed again. So yeah, we kind of got down to the waterfront. We got a little bit lost towards the end, but we found it in the end. And yeah, the orange flag, there it was. You just walk onto the boat and voila, you come to the Grand Palace. So I went with Mike, who I was traveling with at the time, and another Mike, who we met at the hostel, and a couple of Canadian girls who were doing the same thing that day as well. Alex and Steph. And then what we didn't realize is, obviously well known now, is that these sort of palaces and places you need to cover your knees. Classic basic Brits, should I say. We went with the shorts and t-shirt, not covering any of your knees, sunburnt arms and all that. So we arrive off the boat, straight to the gates of the palace, and this guy says, "You can't come in." I'm like, "Oh, why is that?" He goes, "You need to cover your knees. If you go and see my friend across the road, he'll sell you some yoga pants and you can come in." We're like, "Oh, is this another scam? Dearie me." So we took the risk because he won't let us in. I'm not even sure if he worked there. He's probably the geezer's mate, but what can you do? Went across the road, and this guy is probably about 5'5". And he wasn't worrying about Mike, who I was traveling with, because he's roughly the same height. And my other friend, Mike, who we met on the trip, was the same height as me, but a bit thinner. But when he saw me, probably what, 95 kilos, big lad I am, he's like, "Ooh, I'm not sure I can find anything for you. We'll have to search for the back catalogue." So we tried all these ones he had, because bear in mind, compared to me, a lot of Asian people are smaller. So trying to compensate for roughly a 6 foot guy who's not the thinnest, probably got his work cut out. But he found a pair. It was a purple pair of pants, and purple was actually my favorite color, so there's no problem for me. Tried them on, and he could not stop laughing, this guy. I don't know what it was, but he was looking at me in my purple pants and just could not stop laughing. Anyway, loved it. They fit really well. I kept them for like 3 or 4 years, paid my 100 baht, 150 baht, and we're all sorted with these trousers. So the moment of truth comes when you come into the gate again, is that guy going to let us in? And he just didn't even look at us, didn't even speak to us, walked straight in. So I'm not really sure if that was a scam, but I got some yoga pants for a couple of quid, and yeah, fair play. Like, that actually lasted a while. Walking around, sweat and heat. It really was a hot day. But you can go and see some monuments that are made of gold. You can walk around. It's a bit like Angkor Wat in a sense, but in the confines of a ground. So you go and walk around, take some pictures, and yeah, that was the day. I don't really remember much to that, other than that when we got back, it was so hot that I think we had to have a nap, but we cracked on with the trains and then prepared for the next day of festivities, should we say. And this is where, slightly controversial, but at the time, naive, you just go along with it. We agreed to go along to a tiger reserve, which was 2 hours north of Bangkok. In my experience and in my research now, most places in Asia, and definitely in Thailand, probably drug their tigers or elephants or whatever you're going to see. And at the time, I was kind of aware of it, but I went along with it just to go and see what this place was about. So we popped into Love D, and I think the two Canadian girls that we went with, me and Mike, they organized a taxi with someone they met during the day. This guy would charge us for the whole taxi. Getting into the Tiger Reserve was about 2 hours north, tickets, and then bring us back. One problem that day is the evening before, so after the Grand Palace, few changs, for some reason I went to 7-Eleven and went and bought a toasty. So a toasty was chicken and cheese, I think. Sometimes you just need a break from the rice. And unfortunately, I don't know if it's that or me adjusting to Bangkok, but I got the shits. So in the evening, I was struggling a little bit. We were going to bed relatively early anyway to get up for the day, because I think it was quite an early start, but I could not stop going to the toilet. And I was like, "Oh, tomorrow morning, I hope I'm all right, because it'll be a bit embarrassing asking the driver to stop all the time while I need to go to drop some kids off." So I was like, okay, get a lot of water in me. I had no Imodium. See how I am in the morning. Next morning, get up. It's still going on. Didn't tell Mike or the two Canadian girls, Steph and Alex. So I remember going just before we left, and we popped in the taxi, and the guy said, "It's 2 hours, but it takes about 45 minutes to get out of Bangkok because of the traffic." I was like, "Oh, I just need to hang on for 45 minutes. And 45 minutes was there, and I was begging him to stop, but I didn't want to say anything. But what helped with the journey was this guy had a back catalogue of 90s pop band, boy band singles. I'm talking Backstreet Boys, Westlife, Boyzone, NSYNC. And it kind of passed the time away because we kind of created this a cappella group singing these cheesy classics. And he was singing along. He absolutely loved it. Loved the journey up there. And he kind of got a glimpse of me singing Backstreet's Back. All right. So a bit embarrassing, but hey, to get me through, instead of thinking about what could happen, bit of a godsend really. 45 minutes in, he's like, yep, we're going to stop. Petrol station, get some petrol, toilet break. Absolutely sprinted Usain Bolt into the toilet. Could not wait to get rid of him. But I was like, oh, it's the end because I can't keep doing this when I'm at the Tiger Reserve because you'd be out in the field, I guess, looking at the tigers or doing the activities. Another hour and a half until we get there. Again, bursting, running. And I think that's the last time I did it. This one's not all about my shits. But I'm just giving you an idea. Bangkok can give you that. A bit like Delhi belly. Bangkok can give you a bit of a Bangkok belly. Anyway, right at the Tiger Reserve, isn't that fair that? Tiger Reserve, 2 hours about north of Bangkok. Right, first thing is this Australian geezer. His bald head makes a speech to the whole group. There's there's probably about 100 people there. He's claiming that these tigers are grown up with humans. They're not drugged. They play with humans because they're grown up with them. That's all they've known. And he kind of justified by saying over to the other side of the park was a wild area where you obviously can't go into it, but you can go on this bridge, have a look in. And he said, you've got all animals in there, tigers, etc. And they're just running about in the wild. And you can watch them. So they're natural. And the ones that we're seeing have been, like, I guess, groomed to be brought up with humans. So, okay, he's getting his speech in. And the first thing you do is you line up. So in single file, you walk along. And then the tiger is like kind of standing there to your right. This thing's like, what, up to my height in terms of a hip? Maybe a bit bigger. This thing's huge. Just a quick pause in the episode there. If you're enjoying the podcast and getting value from these conversations, one of the biggest ways you can support Winging It is by leaving a 5-star rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now. It generally helps the show reach new listeners and keeps the podcast growing. And it's free and it only takes a few minutes. Alternatively, if you'd like to support the podcast in another way, you can also buy me a coffee over at buymeacoffee.com/winginit. It's a simple way to help cover hosting, gear, and the time that goes into creating these episodes. And I seriously appreciate every coffee that I receive. It's only $5. You can also head to winginittravelpodcast.com to book your travel through my affiliate links. That just means that if you book your flights, accommodation, or travel gear through those links, it helps support the podcast at no extra cost to you. And it allows me to keep sharing these stories from the road. And finally, if you know someone who loves travel, storytelling, or meaningful conversations, please share the podcast, whether that's by word of mouth, sending an episode to a friend, or posting it on social media. It really does make a huge difference. Right, let's get back into the episode.
Oh God, he does. You can't touch anywhere else but here, and it's like around his butt, I guess, like around the back. And he's like, touch it here, little stroke, nothing untoward, and you'll be fine. So, okay. So we queue up. And I touch a tiger, and I'm like, I hope this tiger's all right. But taking that away for a second, I got to like touch a tiger. Like, where else do you get to do that? Bit of a weird feeling. Yeah, this beast was amazing. So moved on from the line. Next thing you do is take a photo of it. You know, a classic photo where you lay down, the tiger's laying down with you and you get your hands on the tiger and get the photo. I didn't actually do that, I don't think. I wasn't really interested in that because I kind of thought, I'm not here to kind of show myself with the tiger in terms of a photo. But a lot of people did that and they seemed totally fine with it. I guess it was quite, again, sweltering day and they'd done it in the shade. So I guess they were pretty knackered from that. But one thing I did sign up for was feeding a tiger with a chicken. Not a live one, dead one. This required me to hold a chicken in my hands and then tiger who's kind of on a leash sort of eats out of your hand. Great in theory. I was like, how's that going to work? Because he could just switch and eat me. But holding this chicken, so I got to it, holding this chicken, and it's almost like I'm not there. He is chomping away at his chicken. It's good that he knows I'm not really there, but not great because how does he know when he gets to my fingers to stop? And I was like, I don't believe he's going to recognize my fingers and stop with these massive fangs and chop them off. So I kind of like got quarter of the way there, half a chicken, and I'm starting to freak out. I'm like, how do I end this? And like people are watching me. And it got to like three quarters and way too close to comfort. Fingernails are getting chopped off here.
No, I just dropped it and he just obviously went down and ate the rest of the chicken. But this tiger had no idea I was really there. It's quite strange, quite hard to describe or even imagine, I guess. But this tiger was huge. Like, it's a proper grown tiger eating the chicken off my hands. So that was quite an interesting experience. And then last thing we signed up to was playing with the tigers in the pool. So on my Instagram story and on my just general feed, I'm going to post some pictures from this week because it's probably better to try and imagine what I'm saying relating to a picture. So tomorrow when I release the podcast, I will release where we were, and it's in this pool of water and these tigers come and play with you. And the way you play with them is you get a stick and a carry bag at the end and you rustle it in the air. And the idea is they see this, they love it. They run probably like 5-10 meters, jump up and try and grab it. And the number one rule here is do not keep hold of the stick when they've actually got a bit of purchase on the grab, because they'll drag you in. And first 10, 15 minutes, didn't really grab my stick. They grabbed a few other people's. I was rustling it. And then to the left, just switched off for a moment. Imagine Messi coming from the right wing and you're like, oh God, yeah, I didn't see him coming. He's gone. This tiger comes running along, jumps up, grabs my stick and pulls me. I'm like, oh my God, he's got it. And the power, the sheer power was unbelievable. And he pulls my stick. So first bit of training I had at the start of the thing, released the stick and he pulled it away from me and he was playing with the stick and his carrier bag around my feet. And this happens probably for another 30 minutes. And it's weird because they don't know you're there almost. They're just playing amongst you. But they're playing with themselves, so they could swipe and they can easily just catch you off guard or catch your leg. Or these are fully grown tigers. And I was like, I get a bit nervous here because they can just like swipe at my feet or, I don't know, put us in. It was really weird. And I started to get a bit anxious about it and I started to get a bit annoyed and it's hot. And it went on for 45 minutes, this thing, and I was done. I was like, wow, this is amazing, but not quite sure how this is really working. Off we'd done that. And then we went to the wild section, saw some wild tigers and other animals in there. And yeah, I kind of reflected on the way back on the taxi ride. Just couldn't really work out what happened there. But yeah, got to feed a chicken, got to touch one, got to play with one. We'll never do it again because I don't think it's very ethical. I'm sure there's some sanctuaries out there that have maybe got something good on the go, but I just cannot believe that a tiger would just not do anything unless it's drugged, but I could be wrong. So after that experience, kind of need to let off steam. We plan our night out on Koh San Road. So Koh San Road, 24-hour party street in Bangkok. They're probably the most popular place for backpackers to stay. You can stay in hostels around the area. And on this street, you have anything available to you. And I'm talking anything. So off we go. Cocktails, Chang's. First thing I do, ate a scorpion. Pretty boozed up, ate a scorpion. And then I thought, you know what? Yeah, tasted all right. Ate another one. Ate two scorpions in one night. And I've done a similar thing in Vietnam when I ate a cricket. The weird thing about these is they're kind of boiled alive, I'd imagine. So it's exactly as you see it, as if it's live. And the eyes just look at you as you eat it. It's a bit weird. Tasted not bad. Put a bit of protein going in there. But again, when you boost up, you do anything right. So that's my first experience. And we went to a few clubs on the street. And comes a bit controversial in a minute. So we had a few nights out in general. But this night out, we decided to go to a ping pong show afterwards. So on the way to the ping pong show, there's probably about 10 to 15 of us. Need two tuk-tuks. So we get the tuk-tuks, flag them down, and we race. We ask them to race each other. We probably fit in 6-7 people in a tuk-tuk. That's a pretty cramped tuk-tuk. And probably the weight was probably quite a lot, especially with me in it. But we offered the drivers, I think, 50 baht each. I mean, it must have been about, what, 400-500 baht? It's like 10 quid to the winner. And they're absolutely loving it. And these guys were pelting it down the highway. I'm talking like speeding the tuk-tuk as much as you can go. We're hanging on for dear life. And quite a good fun experience. We're shouting out and, you know, people are watching us. It's quite funny. So that was a good experience. And my tuk-tuk lost probably because of my weight. So we arrive to this little bit of a seedy area. No idea where we are in Bangkok. And ping pong show. Again, another controversial subject. Naively at the time, whether you believe this or not, I'm not sure what it is. I generally think there's a table tennis involved. I'd be laughing at that. I generally thought something to do with that. Anyway, in we go. And you get your ticket, you get a drink. Before anything kicks off or anything happens, not for the first time, I grabbed my drink, sat my table, and probably misjudged my booziness slash the weight of the table. And as I sat down and everyone laid their drinks on the table, for some reason, didn't want to sit on the seat, wanted to sit on the table. And the table just flipped and all the drinks go over me and all over the floor. And not for the first time I've done this in my career. I've ruined everyone's drinks. Luckily, the guys got us another one and we cracked on. So, what did I see? If you're not sure, I wouldn't really Google it, but I could tell you what I experienced, and it's grim. No other words but grim for this. We quickly realise, and I'm not the only one in this group at this point, I must say, that there are ladies here that have probably been taken off the streets. And what they do is they're fully naked on a stage and things come out of their bottom half. These could be anything from darts, so they fire darts into balloons. They do drawings on a piece of paper. And they obviously have ping pongs, as in table tennis balls, coming out, knocking Skittles over, all this stuff. And I could not believe what I was seeing. So grim. And I think third act in, we're like, what is this place? Why have we come here? I think we need to leave. And one of the last things I saw is, this is really grim, I apologise, but the guys who obviously own it, like the maintenance, is the clearing the stage or wiping the stage clean. I'm like, what is going on here? And one of the worst things is we saw is we actually felt sorry for the ladies. So we actually got some money together and we tried to catch a few of them just on the side, probably at the bar, hanging around, I think. And we split the money and we gave some money to them. And the first thing that happened is as soon as that happened, those pimps that owned the club, all the guys came straight over and took the money. And we're like, oh, this place is grim. We need to get out of here. So quite early on, we called it a night and we're like, no one want to leave. And they got a bit arsy with us and it got a little bit scary at one point where these guys were like, nope, you can't leave. What are you doing? And I think it took a few of us to go, no, we are leaving. And we had to like bundle everyone out. And I can't remember. I think we had to like maybe get some girls out first and then we went out last. And no idea in Bangkok where we were, all pretty boozed up. So we have this tuk-tuk waiting outside and there's probably about 10 people at this point. I'm like, mate, we have no idea where we're staying. Can you take us back to Lobdi Hostel? And he's like, yeah. It'll be 50 baht each, says 10 of us. It's a bit of a trek, but come on, yeah, I'll take you back. And we're like, we've got no choice. So we pop on the tuk-tuk and it took roughly 30 seconds around the corner, there, bang. And we had to laugh because he absolutely made an absolute killing on that and done us all for a load of kippers. So yeah, fair play to the lad. Got $500 baht. Pretty decent night's trip. And that was that. That was the end of an interesting night. Some guys got a Macca's in at 5 a.m. Fair play to the lads. So to finish off with Bangkok, we were having such a great time. We didn't want to leave, but we had to carry on with our Southeast Asia trip. And we're kind of giving ourselves a bit of a pep talk, like, Mike, James, come on, let's go. Look, we're not just staying in a Lobdi Hostel, getting boozed up every night. Let's go and see some more of Asia. So we brought ourselves together and we're like, right, okay, Siem Reap is next in Cambodia. We're going to book a bus ticket and get something locked in so we actually leave this place because it's too addictive. So we booked that in and we agreed on the last night to go to that hangover hotel, which I mentioned earlier. And this is basically the opposite of Koh San Road. You have to go a bit classier in terms of what you wear and it's Western prices. But you go up to 63 floors and there's a deck which goes out. So if you're afraid of heights, not the best for you. I'm not. So I thought I'm up for this. Jazz band, cocktail bar. In we go for one drink and the view of Bangkok is absolutely unbelievable. And I highly recommend going there for a drink. You can't take any photos at the time. They wouldn't let us take photos. A bit strange. But well worth doing, especially on your last night, a bit of classiness there. As I say, that's on Silom Road, the Hangover Hotel. And that was the last night we're saying goodbye to some people. So we had a great week. We're going to plan to meet up with someone the way. But yeah, that was the end of a great week. Pretty sad leaving, actually, even though it was like 1 week in of the 6 months traveling, but had to get out because we'd just stay there forever. So that is probably my week in Bangkok. I hope it explains that a few things to see, three things not to see, and the type of atmosphere and vibe you get there. Bangkok is a bit of a culture shock if you've not been to Asia. But I've been there recently, a couple of years ago, and it's way more westernized now. It's like actually going home. So I'm not sure if you'll get the same sort of things. So give you an example, tuk-tuk's not really a thing anymore because you got Uber. Why try and barter with a tuk-tuk when Uber would just get you one place to another? I guess that's a bit of a dying art. So yeah, I would recommend going there and checking it out. To move on, or to conclude, should I say, I'm going to put some photos up of the week on my Instagram and probably on my website, jameshulman.org as well. And please get in touch if you've got any stories about Lub D or your experiences in Bangkok. I would love to hear them, or any more recommendations. So just to conclude, yeah, we saw the Reclining Buddha, the Grand Palace. We went to Koh San Road, went to a tiger reserve, and also a ping pong show, which I don't recommend. Keep rating the podcast. I love that. Also, a deal of downloads this week. I really appreciate your support. Hopefully it's entertaining enough. We've got some great episodes coming up with some guests. So my next episode next week will be guest orientated. Don't want to give away too much. Where we get some people's experiences on record. So I'm going to leave you with a quote. And this is from Anna Quinlan, who's an American novelist and columnist, who says, "The life you have led doesn't need to be the only life you have." So after my running call last week, I sort of see my own life as in up to 2013. That's one period. So yeah, school, university, guitar, music. And it kind of shifted then. And now I'm on this phase from 2013 where I'm kind of doing a work and travel lifestyle. I'm not saying you have to quit your whole life and change something, but just a little change. Like, you might never been to Asia before and you want to get maybe a month in. And especially after COVID, when we've been working from home, you probably saved up a lot of money and or vacation time. It's a chance to go and explore somewhere, not just for a week. So Thailand as an example, you can spend a great month in Thailand. You've got a couple of great cities, Bangkok, Chiang Mai. Then you've got all the islands down the south, Koh Lanta, Koh Phi Phi on one side, Koh Phangan, Koh Tao on the other. And also you've got some smaller cities like Krabi and stuff like that to go and see. So if you think about a month, you can see a lot and you get a bit of in depth from somewhere, not just like nipping somewhere for a couple of days. So I feel like my 7 days at Lub D made me experience Bangkok to the fullest. And I think I would go back, but I've seen quite a bit already. And the reason I've done this podcast to finish on is that Lub D unfortunately is closed in Silom Road. They do have another location in Siam Square. And they've got other locations in Asia, Southeast Asia and Philippines, Singapore, Cambodia, etc. So I had to make sure they actually closed. I actually messaged them directly on Facebook. Said, "Hey, have you guys closed?" And they confirmed they have on Silom Road. So I felt like it's a goodbye to Silom Road. It was a great start to my travels. Met loads of great people. I want to say thank you for the experiences for those people. I'm still in contact with most of them. And happy travels when we can ever do that ever again, which is 2022. Have a great week. Stay safe, take care, and happy traveling in your mind, but in the future, out in Asia. Ciao.
And that's it for this episode on Winging It. I hope you took something from this episode, whether it sparked a new idea, offered a different perspective, or simply let you feel part of the journey. If you enjoyed it, leaving a quick rating or review on your podcast app really helps the show reach new listeners. And if you know someone who might connect with this episode, share it by word of mouth or social media. It makes a huge difference. Head to voyescape.com for more amazing travel podcasts as well. And thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode. Until then, keep winging it.
Hi, I'm Mike Siegel, and man, oh man, do I love talking about travel. You think I'd get enough of it, touring the world as a stand-up comedian, or just going off on my own personal adventures around the world? No, when I get home, I still have to talk about it. That's how much I love travel. So every week I sit down with a friend, a travel expert, influencer, expat, or anyone from any walk of life who shares my passion for travel. So if you want to hear a fun, casual, off-the-cuff chat about travel from people who love it, listen to the Travel Tales podcast with me, Mike Siegel, wherever you get your podcasts.
Quick question. Do you want travel tips from people who have actually been there?
Our show is co-hosted by Tim Johnson, an award-winning travel journalist who's been to more than 145 countries around the world. And I'm David Brody, the other co-host who's been travel podcasting for 20 years while traveling to 50-plus countries around the world.
In about 10 or 20 minutes per show, we break down a destination with the kind of insight you usually only get from long guidebooks or hours of research.
So if you want expert advice, zero fluff, and travel inspiration that you can actually use, search for Travel in 10 wherever you listen to podcasts, or you can also find us at boyescape.com.